Well, all, it is the Brian and Vinny show here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Yes, as you probably have noticed by the fact that there was no music today, the drop board still is not fixed.
Downer.
And not going to freak out about it like I did last week when I lost my mind, because I've just determined that there must be a solution. I just haven't figured out what the solution is yet. So what's there to be angry about? I was going to try and figure out a solution this weekend, but more pressing matters occurred. I killed myself.
That's not true. You crippled yourself.
I did cripple myself, and that was no buys. But for those of you gravely concerned about my physical state, I am here to announce that, as a great man, Don Fry, once proclaimed, we fighters heal faster than normal men. I have taken a great deal of...
You now count as a fighter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Taken a great deal of medicine.
How many fights have you had?
As prescribed by a doctor. Well, Vince, like... Hicks and Gracie, I've had literally hundreds. I count every sparring session as a battle.
I see.
So anyway, as I was saying before I was rudely interrupted by Loudmouth here.
By a non-fighter.
I suffered an injury. I have taken copious amounts of medicine. I have applied Icy Hot to the affected area. I took a bath today, a Epsom salt bath, and I have been stretching my back, and God damn, I feel good.
Woo!
At least I feel better than I felt before. I don't feel good enough yet to actually go to the gym, which I want to do here very shortly, at least to, like, walk on the treadmill or something like that. Hopefully that's coming up in the next couple of days. But all is well. My career's not over, as I had feared.
Is your spine still straight?
No, I'm starting to get an arch back.
That's good.
It's actually not so much an arch now. It's more like a
slope?
No, it's more... Let me show you again.
Great.
We did this yesterday.
That's all I need is you taking off your shirt every show. Okay, I can see the change, yes. It's not so much that the spine is curving, it's just the top part's leaning out more.
What do you mean? Well, yeah, so like there's you can see where my lower back is now.
Yes.
You couldn't see that yesterday.
No.
There was a straight line, just straight down like a board.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I woke up this morning and you know, I expected to wake up and feel horrible, quite frankly. You lay down all night, you're all comfortable, and then you wake up and just shooting pain. And actually, I woke up and I felt much better. So I think that what I'm going to do, I don't think there's like a danger of taking more than one Epsom salt bath a day. I don't know what the danger might be, but...
I've never heard of anyone over Epsoming.
Okay, well, good, because I'm probably going to take one more before I go to bed here tonight.
Although I must say, I've never... What the hell is Epsom salt?
You dissolve it in water, and people use it for injuries like sprains and that sort of thing, and it supposedly sucks out poison if you've got a bug bite or all sorts of different things. The healing properties of Epsom salt. Go look it up on the internet when you get home.
Sure, baby, it's not just like snake oil.
No, it's not.
Okay.
I can testify to this right now
because
let me tell you something. I took that Epsom salt bath this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out of that bath, and I felt awesome.
Woo.
Like, my I didn't have any back pain at all. I in fact, I just laid on my bed for a while and thought, may as well die.
Now that you're happy?
It's not like there's going to be a point in my life where I'm more comfortable than I am right now.
I see.
I feel pretty goddamn great. So, anyway, I took the bath. I'm going to take another one tonight. I'm going to sleep like a dead man, and I plan to wake up tomorrow and do a flip. That's my plan.
The great thing is you may be speaking literally.
If I can, goddammit, I will. So anyway,
this is getting off on a tangent here, but I remember once I was taking a Spanish class, and one of the other students in this class was, of course, her.
Yeah, and wow.
She was not dating you at the time, but
she took Spanish?
I did.
No, she did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay, yeah. Go on.
And we were both in there one day earning extra credit. I was earning extra credit because I wanted to pass. She was earning extra credit because she wanted an A. And so she worked, and she went over to the teacher, and they went over the papers and whatnot, and he said, well, that gives you this many points, and that gives you an A. And she says, that's an A? And he said, yes. And she said, hooray, thank you, sir. And she ran out the door, and she ran down the sidewalk, which I could see the whole thing of. And she, like yourself, was also a gymnast, and she did, I'm sure there's a better name for this move, but she did a cartwheel without using her hands.
Just an aerial.
An aerial. Flipped through the air. Legs spread wide apart and went flying. I thought, everyone in their life should be happy enough to do that one time.
She did it regularly, in fact.
But my point being, she in fact was so happy she did a flip.
Her was crazy, and she did attempt to kill me at one point.
Stab you.
But I mean, I was with her for a year and 8 months, so there were perks. I mean, there were cool things about her here and there.
When she did a flip.
And in fact, it reminds me of when we went to prom, in fact, and I had my tuxedo on and my reverse mullet.
Awesome.
And she had her dress on or whatever it was. And I remember that the outside halls at the school, of course, are outside, so there's like concrete, you know? And they've got the thing over the top and everything like that, and we were walking, I don't know what we were doing, maybe walking to the car afterwards or something like that, and she suddenly stopped and she took off her high heels and she handed them to me, and she proceeded to do a round-off back handspring on the cement, and then she took her shoes back and she put them on and she continued on her merry way, and I thought, that was pretty cool.
That's great.
So anyway, yeah, she did a lot of flips back there in the day, and I may do one tomorrow, goddammit. When I wake up and my back is completely healed. So anyway, that's the update there, and we're going to talk about SmackDown and Raw tonight. We don't have any shout-outs. Actually, we do have shout-outs. I'm sorry. We don't have any songs, which actually will bring the comedy in the shout-outs, as you will see later on. But anyway, let's get into it and get on our merry way. For those of you that are freeloaders, of course, this is a free show, and if you like it, then sign up. I just recommend going to the front page of the website right now and taking a look around at all the stuff that you can't get. All those newsletters there, you can't get them. If you click on the radio show tab and there's that giant list of radio shows, you can't get any of them. A lot of stuff you can't get on the website. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff you can get at WrestlingObserver.com, but all that stuff you can't get, if you sign up, you can get it. So what the hell are you waiting for?
Getting stuff is good.
Why would you not want 10 to 15 shows a week? Why would you settle for just one? If you love the Brian and Vinny show, we do at least 2 to 3 per week. We do at least 3 Wrestling Observer radios. There are all of our other great programs up. There's a new 5-star radio up right now and a new Tough Talk with an interview with Gary Goodridge. You can't hear that. As a freeloader, you just can't hear that. So, again, what the hell are you waiting for? The brand new newsletters are coming out. I got a Figure 4 out tonight with a biography of Evan Tanner. We've got the Observer out from last week with a Evan Tanner story in it, and of course the new Observer's coming out tomorrow. And a lot of shows coming up this week and a lot of big events, so sign up. It's worth your $9.95, and may as well sign up long-term in case your bank collapses so you won't have to worry about it. Give you something to do for the next year as the country falls into ruin and befuddlement. So check it out, everybody. WrestlingObserver.com, sign up. And
ruin and befuddlement. So everyone will be broke, and this will confuse them.
Yeah.
I see.
Vince, if you went to the bank tomorrow and your bank had collapsed and there was no money left, which actually probably wouldn't be much different than how it is right now, but you'd be befuddled.
I guess I would be, when you put it that way.
Exactly.
I suppose I'd be curious.
So anyway, that's the story. Sign up and join the fun. So, and I actually mentioned that because there's a new Wrestling Observer radio up with myself and Dave Meltzer right now talking Raw. And all the news from the past couple of days, we've done 2 shows in a row, Sunday night and tonight. And as noted, if you're a freeloader, you can't hear them. But the rest of you, go listen to them because they're fun. And in fact, last night's show was 90 minutes long.
I helped.
Yeah, combined Brian and Vinny show where we ran down the TNA pay-per-view and then the Wrestling Observer radio show. So that was that. And let's get on with the show here. We should start with, I guess, Raw.
We usually do.
It was an all right show. It wasn't a great show. Some problems with the crowd.
It had moments I loved, and then there were 1 or 2 things that just drove me insane.
What did you love on this show?
I thought the cage match was fun. I thought the segment with JBL and Santino and Big Dave was fun. And then I hated the Kane Mysterio finish. Hated that. And and there's one segment where actually I loved and hated. The Kane promo I thought was awesome until the end, which was dumb, dumb, dumb.
You know, the Kane promo, I talked about this on the Dave show, but I can go into more in-depth here. Kane, when he cut the promo, the words that he said, he did a good job. Now, with that said, when he turned around and suddenly scary music began to play...
When he tore his mask off.
And the scary music played until Evan Bourne walked up, at which point it suddenly stopped playing. And then Evan Bourne cut a promo and Kane did his laugh and such. That whole package was retarded.
The end of it, yes.
The whole shebang was retarded. If they had not played the wacky music, I think I would have been okay with it. But the wacky music just really had ruined it for me.
I was okay with it starting. I won't lie. When he turned around, we saw the back of Kane's head. He had his mask on. And he turned around and he said something about, I used to wear a mask. And then he took it off. And that's when the dramatic flourish for the music came. I won't deny it. I laughed out loud. But then as he began to speak and the music continued, I thought, this is working. This is cool. And Kane's delivery was awesome. He sounded very angry at Rey Mysterio and actually everyone else in the world. And what he said actually explained why he hates Rey better than anything they've come up with in the past month or more. And everything was going fine. And then Evan Bourne came along. And as you know, the music stopped, which made the whole same thing fake and silly and hokey again. And Evan Bourne, 140-pound Evan Bourne, told Kane off. And Kane laughed at him. And then he let him walk away. And then he looked mean. And suddenly, yes, the last 90 seconds of awesome television of Kane being a giant, scary monster who hates everyone in the world, wasted.
Well, go ahead and talk about the cage match since you enjoyed it. I thought it was all right. I didn't have a problem with it. There was some good stuff in there, and the finish was a bit wacky, but I didn't have much of a problem with it.
Well, it works. They're trying to paint Jericho kind of actually the heel version of how they've been trying to book Punk for the past 5 months. He's the champion who doesn't really deserve to be champion, and it was nothing really new in the cage match we haven't seen before, with the exception of one terrifying spot that I don't think anyone in the crowd realized how scary it was. When Punk hit Jericho with a super electric chair off the middle rope, and Jericho's head bounced hard, and I thought, as they were falling, I thought, you know, you're taking that, most bumps you take for anything, a suplex, a body slam, getting thrown off the cage, getting thrown off the top rope, you're going forward in like a somersault motion and landing. So if you hit hard, all that happens is your feet hit the mat extra hard when they flip over with the rotation. Jericho in this was going backwards the other way, so when he hit hard, his head bounced over, and that looked like it sucked, and sucked very, very badly. And I cringed, and I screamed, and no one else in the building got it. So there's that notable spot. Earlier, there was a great bit where Punk was trying to climb out the door, and he actually got both hands on the floor, and one foot out the door, and Jericho had one foot left in the ring, and the crowd was going crazy, and that was a great moment. Beyond that, it was your basic cage match. Guys ran into the cage. Guys tried to climb out and got pulled down. Nothing terribly innovative or new. And then the big finish was Jericho had the door open. He was standing on the apron brawling with Punk, and Punk was hitting him and hitting him. And then they bunked heads. Punk fell to the mat, and Jericho slipped to the side and fell out the door to win, taking a nasty, nasty splash-type back bump to the floor. That also looked like it sucked. He took a hell of a beating this evening. But that is how you win this match. And so he kind of backdoored his way into a victory over the prior backdoor champion. And Punk was in the ring going, damn it, damn it, and then was never seen again, and he's out of the picture now.
Never seen again.
He was, no. And even the whole thing, they decided to open with this, which I thought was odd. And because they opened with it, that meant Punk walking out here was the first time we had seen him since Orton kicked him. So there was no promo, there was no kind of big return at all. He just walked out, just another guy on Raw, and then he lost, and he is now, again, just another guy on Raw. And it's not the end of the world. Maybe he'll be in the mid-card forever. On the other hand, Randy Orton went like 3 years between his first title reign and the second one, so it's not like he's in his 40s. There's plenty of time left for this young guy. And Jericho came out, and his entrance, you know, we've all seen Jericho come out, and he just appears with his back to the camera and his arms spread wide. Now he has put the entertainer behind him, and him walking out stoically, marching down to the ring with the giant belt on and his new short pants, awesome.
There was a lot of greatness from Jericho tonight. We'll get into that later. So Adam Lee was talking to Kelly backstage, whom he called K2.
Actually, even that, you're giving him too much credit. Adam Lee was standing backstage with Kelly waiting for his cue. And then they gave it to him about 3 seconds late, and then he began to speak in a somewhat natural manner.
Yes. Up walked a man who is Nick Nemeth. I have no idea what he said his name was. He introduced himself twice, and I still could not make it out. So way to go, Nick. And anyway, they Jericho walked up and said, we need to talk about the pay-per-view. Actually, Adam Lee said, we need to talk about the pay-per-view. And Jericho said, listen, I faced Michaels in an unsanctioned match. I won the scramble. I faced Batista last week. I beat Punk tonight. You got to learn how to take care of your champion. He said, let's go to your office and talk. And Adam Lee said, okay, well, we'll do that.
At this point, I didn't realize it was Nick Nemeth, but he announced his name, and I thought, could have sworn he said Dolph Ziggler. And I thought, this can't be right.
We think it's Dolph Diggler.
But he made a second appearance later and said it, and I'm sure the first name is Dolph. But I like Dolph. Dolph Ziggler. That has star power written all over it.
So does Dolph Diggler.
Sure.
How about Dick Dongler? There's a name for you.
What was Marky Mark's name in Boogie Nights? It was like Dirk Diggler or
Dirk
something.
Dirk Diggler.
Dirk Diggler, there you go.
Dolph Diggler.
That's probably what it's supposed to be then.
Yeah. Anyway, then we had Kane's bullshit segment, which we're going to just move on past here. And then we had a wretched, fucking wretched, wretched match. I don't even have... Where's my...
What are you looking for?
Where's my fucking thesaurus at? It's over there somewhere.
I see a Bible. There might be some words in there you can use.
It's over there somewhere. Find my thesaurus.
All right, you talk about the match.
This match sucked.
I concur.
It was Candice against Jillian Hall. And first off, if I ever hear her song again, I may...
You mean Candace?
I may do something bad. You can't find it?
Well, I want to speak here while you're talking about that. Jillian came out, and before the break, she came out and she sang some Elvis songs. And the crowd all booed, and they had thousands of fans sticking their fingers in the air, and they showed all this, and Lawler was telling jokes, and this went on for like 30 seconds. Then they went to commercial. When they came back, Jillian was still singing, and everyone was still making noise about how terrible it was. And then Candace's music started, and I thought, my God, I would rather hear Jillian sing a concert than hear Candace's song ever again. That song is horrible. I see you found the thesaurus.
Candace has the worst music I've ever heard in my life.
Let's think of...
Quiet down.
All right, fine.
I'm going to find...
Well, while you look for words, I'm going to think of historically bad theme songs, such as Isaac Yankem, which is just a dentist drill.
No, this was worse.
Better than Candace.
All right. This was... All right, this I'm going to describe this match here tonight. Hurtful, harmful, baneful, baleful, detrimental, pernicious, mischievous, depraved, vile, base, nefarious, reprehensible, heinous, hateful, wicked, ungodly.
That's certainly true. This is an affront to God.
Ill-contrived. Imperfect, mean, paltry, deteriorated, unsatisfactory, inferior, did I read that one? Ill-conditioned, wretched, abysmal, pitiful, pathetic, sad, grievous, deplorable, lamentable, pitiable, and unfortunate.
Yes.
See adversity.
Unfortunate. That may be my favorite one there. This match, this Candace versus Jillian encounter was unfortunate.
This match was so bad. The level of badness that this match achieved was historic.
Who told Candice Michelle to do springboard moves?
Who told Candice to cut her hair?
Who told Candice
to lose weight? Who told Candice to put on so many clothes? Who told Candice to be so shitty in the ring? Answer these questions.
And to do moves she cannot do, such as a dropkick.
Candice, when she left, I was one of Candice's biggest fans. Go look in the newsletter. Go back and look at before she got hurt. I was like, wow, Candace has really improved. She's doing great. Way to go, Candace. Lost it all. Back to fucking, I can't even say square one. She's back to a circle.
Even a circle has shape and form. She is back to a lump.
This was bad. What more is there to say?
There was one moment in this that I enjoyed, and again, I may have been the only one. Jillian had the heat, if we can use that term for this match. And she had Candace down on the mat in front of her, and she applied a full Nelson. And suddenly, she got a blank, faraway stare in her eyes, and she just sang a note. just a high-pitched note. And her expression was blank. She just looked up at the gods and just screeled this note and then went silent again. And that made me laugh a lot. Other than that, this was fucking brutal.
One of the worst TV matches of the year. Candace will be facing... Beth at the pay-per-view, and that will be one of the worst matches of the year.
It doesn't help that her finisher is an unprettier, which they actually found a worse name for, The candy wrapper.
Yeah.
The candy wrapper.
Well, they couldn't call the unprettier because that would be too fitting a name, since she is much unprettier since she's returned. We had JBL and Tommy Dreamer, and
Dreamer,
whatever.
When Dreamer walked out, I was just, huh, what? Dreamer, huh? And then Lawler noted that if he was Tommy Dreamer and he got called to come to Raw to wrestle JBL, he would have said no. And I thought, that's true.
He was killed. And then afterwards, JBL sat down and said he wasn't leaving until he was determined to be number one contender. So they went to commercial. When they came back, Orton came out. Got a big pop, by the way, for his music. And said all the champions on Raw sucked and JBL would not be an improvement. And talked about his injury and how when he came back, as soon as he was healed, he was going to be champion no matter who had the belt. And at that point, he said there would be a champion with credibility, which, of course, was Santino's cue to come out, which left Orton also befuddled. And anyway, he came out and demanded that Orton apologize for what he had said. Noted Orton was just like his father, always hurt.
That was awesome.
And so anyway, out came Batista. And I should note that this was one of those segments that just went on forever, but everybody was good enough that it didn't drag. So I got to give them credit for that. So anyway, Dave was better than usual, talking about how he was just going to basically whip everybody's ass. And finally, Adam Lee appeared on the big screen and said that he was going to make an announcement about the number one contender by the end of the night, and everybody needed to calm down. So, of course, Batista attacked JBL. Orton fled. Santino jumped JBL. JBL fled. Or Santino jumped Batista. JBL fled. And then Beth slapped Dave. And the second one was hilarious because Dave sold for a while and then looked at her and said, ow!
He's just so much better than you did.
He did. And
he put his heart into this ow.
He tried to leave, but she spun him around, so he picked her up and gave her a sidewalk slam onto Santino's face. That looked like it fucking sucked.
It looked really, really bad. When I watched it on the replay, it didn't look quite as bad because it was not so much that he slammed her onto his face as he set her as gently as possible onto his face. But she ended up on his face, regardless.
Yeah.
Now, granted, if you're going to have someone's ass in your face in WWE, Beth is a far better than average candidate. But still, it was his face. So that's got to suck.
That was fun.
This was a lot of fun. I've decided that JBL's back hair is the best heel gimmick I ever saw. Because when they zoom in on him, and I see these long hairs sticking out of the back of his neck like the fly, I cannot turn away. I just sit there and stare and think, you are disgusting. Disgusting. God. So then Orton came out.
Do you realize how hairy you are?
I shave. And more importantly, I'm not on TV.
All right.
That's a key point. So Orton came out. Orton is, of course, injured. So and God bless the guy. He weighs 170 pounds. he is back to a stack of dimes. Just keep that in mind when he comes back in 3 or 4 months. He was awesome, though, cutting his promo. His star power is phenomenal. He buried JBL in an entertaining manner. So then Santino came out, and has there ever been a case of one man fitting less than JBL, Randy Orton, and Santino Marella? I loved his line about Randy Orton's dad always being injured because that line was written for guys my age and older who remember that angle. And I loved Santino and Beth just being out there together. I love Dave coming out being a house of fire, talking about how he wanted them all to shut up and wanted to kick all their asses. I love Santino. when Dave said he would beat JBL and then beat Orton and then beat Jericho, and JBL said, hey, you're forgetting somebody. And Dave said, okay, I'll give Beth a shot too. And then I love the violence at the end. I love when JBL hit Dave, Orton just headed for the high country immediately. Did not stick around for 1 second, just got the hell out of Dodge. And then I love the big finish of Dave screaming, ow, at Beth and then slamming her onto Santino. This was an awesome segment.
Don't yell on the mic anymore. We don't have the compressors. You can
really
kill everybody.
I'm sorry, everyone. This mixer doesn't have compressors on it?
It does, but not when you freak out that loud. DiBiase and Rhodes and Ed and San Antonio against Kofi, Lawler, and
so true.
Jim Haas, who was Charlie in disguise, with a shirt in his stomach to make him look fat, which the people were not into. And on the bright side, JR's website got plugged, so that was good. Anyway, so they had a match, and wasn't much to it. Haas made a big comeback, which made no sense since they were in Memphis, but what the hell can you do? And DiBiase ended up pinning him with the million-dollar leg sweep. So somehow Lawler escaped being humiliated in his hometown. I don't know how, but way to go, Lawler.
Maybe they forgot. He just kept a low profile all day, and they just it slipped their mind. The highlight of this match, far and away, Manu started with Kofi. And the first thing they did was a shoulder tackle. And Manu tackled this guy deep beneath the earth. Just hit him as hard as he possibly could. And then he picked Kofi up and hit him again. And from over in the corner, you heard Ted DiBiase shout, "Easy!" And I know I just shouted again, but it was worth it for this moment. If you have this on DVR, you must go back and watch it again. It is classic. DiBiase just shouts this at the top of his lungs because he's afraid Kofi's going to die.
Then we had JBL meeting with Jericho, and he said they weren't friends, but they made a great tag team, and Jericho basically cut him off, and long story short, he said, "Fuck you."
Yes, it's true. They went back and forth, and it really could be summed up that quickly. He said, "You cost me the title, and you're not getting a shot at my belt." But yes, he told him to fuck off.
Then we had Jamie Noble and Pirate Paul. Noble won quickly with his straight arm bar. So, Pirate, hope you're around tomorrow morning.
That's true. He's on these. He's future looks bleak, but they were just discussing the angle with Noble and Layla, and Cole asked Lawler, "Have you ever had your heart broken like Burchill or like Noble?" And without skipping a beat, Lawler said, "As a matter of fact, yes, several times."
I wrote about it in my book, dipshit.
Yes.
So then Layla came out and said last week was a horribly difficult decision and situation for her, and she was sorry that it took her this long to get rid of him. See, she said, "Where are we going to take me, Jamie? The local Waffle House in your pickup truck? It's over." And she brought out her new man, worthy of her. It was Regal. And he ended up saying, "It was not Noble that she wanted. It was Nobility." Awesome.
This was great.
The greatest duo ever.
Last week, you flipped out when Layla dissed Olive Garden. This is my week. She dissed Waffle House. Fuck her.
Come on.
How dare she slam Waffle House like that? Clearly, she's never had the grits there. But, yes.
Clearly, it is clear she's never had the grits there, Vince. It's quite clear you have.
Well,
now,
that's
go
also
on.
True. That's also true. But I also love when the match no one gave a shit about, but Noble won with the cross-arm breaker, and then he celebrated like a UFC fighter. He jumped in the air, he thrust his fist back and forth, he screamed, "Yeah, yeah!" And I thought, that was so awesome right there. Why do you guys not do that all the time? Usually they win, and they just kind of get to their feet and raise their hand very calmly. Celebrate! You won something, goddammit!
Then we had a wacky segment where basically Batista went into Adam Lee's office and he said, "You gonna make me the number one contender or not?" And Lance Cade attempted to question this request and was nearly killed for his troubles. And then Dave left.
He did not get the answer.
Did not
to his
even
question.
Wait for an answer.
I don't know who wrote this, but
idiot.
By the end of the minute segment, they had forgotten what happened in the first 5 seconds.
Kane versus Ray had a rather average match, and then Kane ended up pounding on him in the corner and refusing to stop, and so he was DQ'd. What a shitty finish.
Always the best finish.
At least we didn't watch 25 minutes before this finish.
Yes, the match was very plain, and then Ray was getting to the point right where he would make a big comeback, and then Kane just beat him and beat him and beat him and was disqualified for kicking too much ass,
yep.
Which is just the worst finish in the world, particularly when it's Rey Mysterio, a guy who you think they try to use as a star.
Well, no.
If he beat up Charlie Haas, actually. If you beat up Charlie Haas like this, I'd be fine with it. He beat up Ray.
And then Evan ran down, and he and Ray laid out Kane, so I guess we'll see. Handicap match, perhaps. Two babyfaces against a heel. Welcome to TNA, everybody. But
again, one of whom is supposed to be a big star, you would think.
At least they have not given up on these guys as a team. That's good. So anyway, then Jericho came out and cut a promo and said...
Actually, you missed here the second appearance of Dolph Ziggler. I'm not surprised you missed it, because I actually missed it, too. There's a little button on the remote that skips ahead 30 seconds, and the first time I hit it, it skipped ahead the entire segment. I actually went back because I wanted to watch the My Network TV commercial, and that's when I realized I skipped this. But Jericho and Cade were walking backstage. Dolph Ziggler walked by. He introduced themselves. He held his hand out. Jericho stared at it. Dolph turned to Cade. Cade shook his hand. Dolph said, "Hi, I'm Dolph Ziggler." Then he walked away. Jericho said, and I quote, "God." And they just kept walking. It was a beautiful but way, way too short segment.
That led to the main event where Jericho said, Neither JBL nor Batista were worthy of a shot at his title, and suggested they face off at No Mercy, and he'd immediately face the winner, which was an awesome heel line.
I actually thought that's what they were going to do.
And he actually said that people will say this is not fair, but they can fuck off because I had two matches in one night at the last pay-per-view, and I won the title. Should have mentioned the night that he won the Undisputed title, he did
that's
the same thing.
True. I was actually only half listening. I thought that's what he was referring to.
Anyway, he came out and Adam Lee said this idea is more than fair. Adam Lee was worse than Sting last night, if that's even possible.
My God, yes. This was his worst performance, I believe.
He massively struggled to spit out that the winner of JBL and Dave would face Jericho, but not that night. And then he
did
said,
such a poor job of this.
He said, I've got to defend the title at the pay-per-view.
He did say
as in
that.
Me, Mike Adam Lee. I have got to defend this title at the pay-per-view.
He said that, yes. He did such a poor job here that Jericho had to interrupt him and clarify what he was trying to say.
Yes. So, finally, long story short, it's Sean versus Jericho for the title. They had a long pause before introducing Sean, and when they finally did, it got a big reaction, but less than I expected it would get. And Sean basically got a ladder out, and it's going to be a ladder match. And match will be fun. The segment didn't really work.
Oh, God, no.
But they've got 3 weeks.
The segment was a failure. I blame entirely Mike Adam Lee, and he announced, you know, he said, I am now going to introduce your challenger. Then he went backstage. And I think the deal was they wanted HBK a chance, but the people wouldn't do it. And so they waited for like 30 seconds until a very faint HBK chance started. Then they brought him out, and I thought, okay, Sean, you have to save the segment. And God bless Sean, but the segment was unsafeable at this point. And he announced they were going to have a match where he could permanently disfigure him, and he couldn't remember the name, so he asked for guys to help him, and they brought out the giant ladder, and he climbed up and said, ladder match! And everyone went...
He couldn't remember the name?
Well, he faked it, but he was like... said, he said, I have a match in mind. It's a match I put on the map. It's a match I revolutionized. Guys? And Geeks came out with the ladder, and he climbed up and said, ladder match. And everyone went, and I quote, yay.
I like that he had Geeks out there with his ladder. So that was Raw, everybody. I should note that the other day on this program, I was plugging my Facebook. And since a lot of you are listening to this for free right now, I will give you an opportunity to head on over to Facebook and friend me. I am, of course, under Brian Alvarez. My goal yesterday was 1,000 friends. I believe I was at 980.
Yes.
I believe yesterday. As of the time I'm recording this update, I'm currently at 1,035 friends.
Huzzah.
And so... any of you listening right now, any of you freeloaders, I will be your friend as well, even though you're cheap. So head over to Facebook and friend Brian Alvarez, and I'll add you to the list. I am now shooting for 5,000 friends. That's my goal.
You are a man who sets goals and works to achieve them.
I do. I set many goals. So there's a lot of pictures up there, including some pictures of the Tulalip Championship wrestling event this weekend where I was killed, where my back was killed by Ken Riley. Yep.
It's funny to hear a man refer to himself being killed in the past tense.
I was killed.
But you got better.
Got some pictures here in this album. There's some old school pictures of me, Buddy, and Richie heading to the ring in our matching headbands and trunks. Good times.
That was a great team.
There's pictures from Ocean Shores when I discovered alcohol for the first time, including a shot of me extraordinarily drunk in the PT Cruiser that my buddy Yeti rented for the weekend. What else have we got here? There's a picture of
Did
me.
Did you ever pay him back for that, by the way?
I'm working on it. Here's a picture of me and Buddy at a show in Portland. There's me and Granny at Christmas with a giant stuffed horse. Got a picture of me with a beard and a flask. Always one of my favorites. Bunch of pictures from when I won the ICWA Texarkana television title.
This is the most self-indulgent plug for anything I've ever heard. Come to my site and be my friend and view my album.
Exactly. What the hell do you think Facebook's all about?
That's why I'm not a member.
Well, you should be. And there's also pictures here from the match with Ted the Trailer McNailer, as well as mention the photos of me winning the championship. And sadly, there are photos of me losing the Texarkana title, and including one flat on my back, looking up at the lights. Jobber extraordinaire. So
right where you belong.
Facebook, everybody. Brian Alvarez, sign up, and you can become my 1,036th friend. So, SmackDown. What did you think of that show?
I don't even remember it. What happened on the show? Oh, Hunter buried everybody. That's right.
And this is new how.
He spread it out over the course of the show rather than doing it all at the same time.
Let's run this thing down quickly because there ain't much to talk about. Triple H buried the scramble match. He buried all the people in the scramble match. Jeff Hardy came out and attempted to bury him by talking about how he'd married into the family in a roundabout way. And, of course, Hunter talked about Jeff's drug addictions. This whole thing was just way too inside.
Yeah.
They would make references, and about 5% of the people would go, oh, and everybody else would go, and it would just be a complete silence.
Jeff Hardy mentioned he didn't have friends like The Click.
Yeah.
I thought, Jesus Christ, that was 14 years ago.
Yeah. So, anyway, Hunter said he hoped that Jeff won the four-way tonight to get a shot at the pay-per-view and said that if he did, he would choke. So... there you go.
Buried.
Way to go, Hunter.
Yes. There was
everybody is a fool in Triple H's world.
There was a point here where Hunter sort of tried to put the scramble match over. He generally buried it, but he did at one point call it one of his most grueling matches. And I thought, I believe you wrestled for 5 minutes.
Grueling.
Grueling.
And he won the title 42 seconds into that 5 minutes. So.
And several times thereafter.
Tough time. Then we add Maryse, Natalya, and Victoria against Michelle, Brie, Bella, and Maria. Brie switched places again and got the win. Twin angle is wacky. There are so many ways they could go. I'm hoping that next week they do something where the twin comes out and, like, she's got slightly different colored boots on or something like that. Just something completely nominally wacky that nobody would notice unless you paid super close attention, and they just kind of go from there. So... I love where this could go, but I'm sure they're going to screw it up.
Maryse is most definitely no longer the worst woman in the company, thanks mostly to Candice Michelle showing up, but she actually is getting better here. There's a point where they had the heat of Maria, and Maryse tagged in and, like, mounted her and started laying in elbows, and I thought, holy cow, she actually looks good there for, like, the first time ever. So that was notable.
Then we had the R-Truth segment. He danced and rapped to the crowd. The people are getting into what's up, so that's good. He beat Chavo, and it was an acceptable match. Actually, yeah.
Actually, Neely, no, he didn't beat Chavo.
Yeah, Neely yanked him off the top rope for the DQ.
For no reason.
Yep. And
just came out of nowhere.
He was going to do a superplex. He saved Chavo from being superplexed.
Okay. I guess that's a...
And that's why Chavo yelled at him afterwards.
Yes.
So Neely slapped him. Chavo slapped him and Neely shoved him down, and then Truth gave Neely the axe kick and hit Chavo with a flying forearm, and it was a good little segment. It was fine.
I guess. It made no sense that Bam would interfere when he did, and that's why Chavo yelled at him, and R-Truth killed them both, so at least he didn't lose here. That's good. My favorite part of this by far was when R-Truth first got in the ring and he did his dance, and in the corner, in the background, standing perfectly still with their arms crossed in front of them, were Charles Robinson and Justin the announcer guy, just being... the whitest guys in the back of the dance club you could ever see.
Shelton was hitting on Eve, and Hunter walked up and gave her the eye and basically told Shelton it was absurd that he had to prove himself again tonight since he was the only guy in the scramble match that didn't get pinned on Sunday, and tried to stir trouble by saying Jeff was doing all he could to get the brass ring tonight, and Shelton said, you don't need to worry about him, you need to worry about me, and that was that. Kenny did a promo, said he was going to beat up Festus. Kenny cut a promo. I just wanted to remind everybody of that occurrence. So anyway, Festus came out, and they beat him up, and then they taped him to a piece of moving equipment and then carted him off.
They wrapped him in tape and bubble wrap and assorted other stuff. And, yes, they hauled him up the ramp, and I don't believe we ever saw him again.
No. That may be the end of his career.
Maybe they sent him back to OVW a second time.
Yeah. So, Vicky came out and was quite hated.
Grown men were screaming their lungs out at this woman.
Said that, basically called out Big Show to explain why he did what he did, and I don't know what he said, really. He basically said they were a power couple. He had things he wanted, she had things she wanted, they were going to work together, and all I know is Big Show talked way too fast. This was the Vinny V Sports Report of promos here by the Big Show.
Very nice.
Which is ironic because the two of you, remarkably similar in many ways.
I've heard.
He just fucking rattled on and on and on extremely fast and no buys. So.
Yeah, he said something about Undertaker thinking he was above the rules, and he wanted to show that Undertaker had to follow rules like everybody else.
Yeah.
And I think he said that if he can make Undertaker apologize, he'll get a title shot, but yeah. I don't know. This is a fail.
This was a fail. Vladimir Kozlov beat Scotty Goldman and Funaki, and Kozlov's getting better. I got to give the guy credit.
Sure.
The guy is getting better. And he pinned Funaki with the headbutt and then said he wanted some competition, and he said if they didn't find him some, he would find it himself.
What a waste of Colt Cabana.
Yeah.
I know, but... Come on. You couldn't bring back Shannon Moore one more time just to get squashed like this?
No. Scotty Goldman. So then Triple H ran into Ezekiel, and they went face-to-face, teasing something for down the road. And then Kendrick came up and said it was preposterous that he should have to be in the main event.
And Hunter said it was ludicrous.
Since he was the longest reigning champion in the history of the Scramble. That was a great line.
That was a phenomenal heel line. The fact that he would go back, watch the tape with a stopwatch, mind you, watch all three matches and time how long he was champion, and then declare, "Woo, I was champion longest."
Hunter said of all the losers at the pay-per-view, Kendrick was by far the biggest. Buried.
Yeah.
Edge Geeks against Carlito and Primo, the Cologne brothers.
No, you must say what it said on the screen. The colons.
It did, actually. You know, they should have kept the dicks. We could add the colons and the dicks. What a feud that would have been.
I'm not going to follow up on that at all. I have nothing to say to that suggestion.
The colons here, this was the best Carlito's looked in maybe ever, and it wasn't much. He's lost a lot of weight, but this is such a better role for him than anything he's done of late. Primo looked fine. It was a wacky little match. The colons won, and that was that. Carlito looked like he was having fun, what can you do?
He did. He got to win with the backstabber, and he shook Primo's hand, and he had the look in his eye like, Primo's in trouble. Primo's going to fuck up a match someday, and Carlito's going to kill him, and that'll be that.
Yeah. So there you go. And then we had Hunter meeting with MVP and just completely mocked him, saying, Kendrick, Shelton, and Hardy all deserve to be in the four-way, but I have no idea why you do. I hope you don't choke like you did on Sunday night. Another man buried.
This promo was so bad, it actually literally drew flies. There was a gigantic fly buzzing around and landing on the wall, and they just left it in there. It was Hunter, MVP, and the fly.
Thank you, Vinny.
Yeah.
I thought there was a follow-up to that.
No.
I can't even do a follow-up with JBL and his back hair, for crying out loud. That's two fly references in one show. You couldn't even tie them together.
I hadn't even thought of that until
Fail.
Now.
Jeff Hardy, MVP, Shelton, and Brian Kendrick in a four-way. Hunter, this match, I just couldn't get into it.
No, it was a mess.
Hunter spent 2 hours mocking these four men, and then we were supposed to care about the match. See who's the least fool here, or something of that nature. Anyway, it was a mess. Four-way spots, guys were bonking into each other. Kind of picked up there after they got some dudes out of the ring. Everyone hit a finish on each other, and Kendrick hit the Kendrick on Shelton, but Jeff came off the top with a senton and fucking crushed them. And
I felt so bad for laughing as hard as I did about that.
He crushed these two fuckers.
And Kendrick is small.
Yeah.
And he was face down at the time because he was pinning Shelton at the time. And so, yes, his back, much like yours, was bent the wrong way and just crushed. And I laughed like a madman and then felt guilty.
So anyway, that means that Jeff's getting a shot at Triple H. And then, strangely, out came Vladimir Kozlov, who laid out Jeff with a headbutt, beat him up in the corner, reversed DDT, and why? I don't know.
He wants competition.
So what? It's going to be a three-way? Jeff Hardy, Triple H, and Vladimir Kozlov?
I agree that's a bad idea, as is Vladimir Kozlov versus anyone on pay-per-view. I suspect Jeff will wrestle Vladimir next week, and Hunter will get involved somehow. I hope it doesn't lead to a three-way. That's a very poor idea.
Well, that may be what we get. So those are the shows this week, kids. Now let's get into some of the shout-outs here. This show really suffers without the drops. We got to have some songs here at some point. I'm reading some...
Is that a shout-out or is that your opinion?
What?
What you just said about suffering without the drops.
This show does suffer without some songs.
Hmm.
I don't know how to get the songs in here, and it's frustrating me, but I'm not going to get angry about it. I'm just going to...
Be positive.
I'm just going to figure this out over the next couple of days, and hopefully the next Brian and Vinny show, we will have...
If you fix it, I know I'm not going to have to say anything for an hour, because you will just play every song in the library.
I'm actually... I was distracted here, because somebody sent me an email saying TNA contract news, but it appears...
I believe it said contest news.
What?
Was there a contract news? I got one saying contest news.
Did you just get it 12 minutes ago?
No.
All right, so shut the fuck up.
God,
TNA contract news, but instead of news, it appears to be all opinions. This confuses me.
I see.
It says, look for Kevin Nash to renew with TNA. There's no way he can work the WWE schedule. I'm afraid that's not news. It's an opinion. No matter what anybody says, Christian is not going to WWE. He will also renew. He hates the WWE schedule and politics. Candice doing his finisher is a clear sign that he's not going, and WWE is saying F you out of anger.
Yeah, good one.
That is also not news.
Who sent this to you?
I'm not going to read this person's name. You might get angry. Gail Kim is not going to WWE, period. Look for her to show up at the tapings Tuesday and Wednesday.
Is this Vince Russo?
This is actually pretty good because we very soon we'll be able to see if this person's correct. We will know tomorrow. He believes that she's being hush-hush. That's how TNA likes to play. Shoots turn into works. WWE doesn't play like that. If she was really WWE bound, she would have signed by now. News here. And let's see. This is like a psychic doing predictions. At least 10 deals expire in March, early April 2009. Look for a number of reports of this wrestler and blah, blah, blah is leaving for WWE. Of course, every single wrestler whose deal is up will renew. Nobody wants to go to WWE. But the wrestlers know you have to tease going there in order for TNA to pay up. Well, that's true. It works every time. So,
well, that is true.
Basically, his prediction is nobody is jumping to WWE from TNA. Apparently, any time through April 2009.
Yes.
So, we'll see if this comes true, but I don't know about this news, but thanks for sending that in.
Yeah, big help.
All right, let's... Oh, I just got a new friend on Facebook. Let's see what my number is now. This is almost as good as drops.
Significantly better, actually.
I now have 1,036 friends.
Mm.
There you go, everybody.
You know, I don't have Facebook, so apparently I don't have any friends. Aww.
Yeah? And this is a surprise?
Well, now it's official.
It's been official for a while. All right, let's read some shout-outs.
Really? You
here.
Had paper documentation saying Vince Vera has
up.
No friends?
If you sign up for the website, everybody, you get a free shout-out. Or you can pay for shout-outs. $5 to my PayPal account, brian@wrestlingobserver.com. And we'll read them here on the air. So take your pick, everybody. Sign up, or if you've already signed up, get one for $5. Let's read a couple here.
Before we do, I have one further note. This is relevant. This is relevant. If you're going to send in a shout-out, send it to Brian. Do not send it to me.
Yes.
Somebody sent one to me, and I had to explain to him, look, this will not happen.
All right. This is from Anchor.
Oh, good.
You'll never believe how this starts.
He misses John Cena?
Please play the AWO theme song.
Oh, right, yeah.
Please play the AWO theme song.
I'm over Anchor in every way.
Vince.
Yes.
How am I going to do this?
Brian, when did he send that in?
Today.
Oh. I thought he said a massive backlog from like months ago.
No, he sent this today.
Well, he expects you to be able to run your show properly.
I think there are a lot of new members since the merger with Dave that have never heard the song. I donated $10 American, so you better fix the new equipment to play songs so you, with a capital Y, can play, with a capital P, the theme song. Well, Anchor, I didn't. Because I don't fucking know how, and I was trying not to get angry about this, and now you're pissing me off. Brian and Vinny, I just wanted to take time out for a shout-out today because I want to publicly demand you delete the thread, famous anchor quotes on the board. People are making up fake quotes, and it really gets me angry. It's bullshit.
Oh, the irony.
And everyone needs to stop it now, because I have to ask Dave to ban all of you, since this is his website after all. Also, Brian, please note the new email address in case you need to contact me with any of our usual business. Thanks, Anchor.
Sorry.
You know what? I just figured it out. This is not from Anchor.
It's a worked Anchor.
This is a worked shout out. Oh, he's going to be pissed now. And I yelled at him. You know, I yelled at him, and it wasn't even his fault.
You know, I was sitting here thinking, we're doing this on the free show, and this shout out is the worst plug for a show I've ever heard. Why would anyone want to pay to communicate with that guy?
I didn't realize it until I started reading this, and I thought, why would Anchor be calling attention to a thread he wants deleted? And the random capitals also gave it away. And the if you not noted, please note the new email address. It wouldn't have been checkmate, but that was it. So I guess Anchor, I owe you a free shout out to give your a rebuttal.
You had an Adam Lee moment right there.
I did have an Adam Lee moment. Anchor, you get a free shout out.
Thank you.
And it must come from your real Anchor address, not these bullshit ones. So, and I apologize for reading a fake shout out. All right. This is I don't know who this is from. B&V, you said you'd finish with the backlog of shoutouts. You were wrong. I sent one in just before the merger. Got lost in the shuffle. I forgive you, though. You and Lance Storm introduced me to Cracker Barrel.
Yes.
Anyway, I was torn a new arsehole by Maj for not signing up, so he gave me a big fuck-off on your show in June. Consequently, this is me taking advantage of my free shoutout on the second attempt. Shoutouts to Steve, Maj, and Stu, the upcoming Road Trip of Awesome 2 to Chicago in October for Shimmer, and to eat at about a million restaurants in 9 days, the Roadway Inn in Lyons, big fuck-off, cars with cheap fuel running it, the way American air smells of freedom. Wow.
You know why that's funny? Because that's a fuck-off. He hates freedom.
And Shimmer's British contingent in Eden Black and Jetta. Fuck-offs to the shit-arse 50. Anyone who thinks Comic Sans is an acceptable font.
Okay, can I tell you something?
British fuel costing about $8.50 a gallon.
At my job I used to have, I edited text in Comic Sans.
And whoever keeps... What the hell? Guys, cheers. I love you both in the mouth.
What? I decline. Your love is rejected.
In the mouth, you say?
Yeah. Immediately rejected.
Comic Sans. Brian, I wish to cash in my free shout-out. It's from Michael. I would just like to say a big hello to my girlfriend Louise. Despite her not thinking I want to spend time with her, I love spending time with her. I love you. Please give a big shout-out to Arsenal Football Club, Green Bay Packers. Fuck you, Favre. Vinny, you rule. Main reason I joined the Empire. Please play the drop I've attached. Funniest thing ever, Michael Berry. Michael, can't do it, brother.
I think you should play it, and we should laugh, then we should just move on.
I don't even have the drop.
Oh.
How ironic. This member, Matthew from Missouri, his handle is Diggler. 412006.
Congratulations on your new Raw contract.
I signed up about 2 weeks after the merger, decided to cash in my shout-out. I'd like to give a shout-out to my beautiful wife of 2 years, Katie. Without you, I would be lost.
Aw.
Plus, your hamburger helper is the greatest.
Mmm.
My best friend for the past 15 years, Joey, who has put up with a lot of crap, but has always been a good friend, and your knowledge of wrestling astounds me. All of Kansas City, Missouri, go Chiefs. Jones Soda, who makes the best soda ever. Brian, your hilarious show with Vinny helps me get through the day. Impact does indeed suck, Brian. Thanks for the sight.
I was very happy.
That was a great shout-out.
That was a fantastic shout-out. Yes, that was a five-star shout-out right there.
That may have been the best shout-out we've had in years.
It was a great one.
Here on this show. And that's it for shout-outs. May as well end on a high note.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I don't have a song for everybody to end this show, but what can you do? We'll be back later on this weekend. Dave and I will be back tomorrow night. There's a new Wrestling Observer Radio up right now. We'll be back again on Wednesday night. Ultimate Fighter, and that show will debut, plus an Ultimate Fight Night, which is dedicated to Evan Tanner, so check that out. Got some new newsletters coming out, some new radio shows up. Check it all out. That's it from here. We'll talk to you after a while.
See ya.